Well, good morning. Happy Easter, everyone. It's good to be able to be here with you this morning. You know, I'm here in our church building, and I realize that for many of us, we haven't been here in the past year. In fact, for the few of us who have been able to be in and out of the building for some various reasons, you know, we have to admit that things just aren't the same. In fact, I wonder this morning if that sense that things just aren't the same can maybe help us as we reflect on the resurrection story a bit this morning together. You know, as I think about the past year, I find myself recognizing that as it began 2020, I was excited about a bunch of different things. You know, as a church community, we had some exciting things planned. We had this thing called Potluck Palooza. Do you remember Potluck Palooza? We had Potluck Palooza that was going to be this fun thing that we were going to do together, and that was fantastic. And then some of us were ready to volunteer at the community center, at the food distribution program there. And that was exciting. That was just a couple things that I was excited for in 2020. And outside of church life, you know what? You and I had other things that we were excited about. 2020 was going to be the year that we took that vacation. It was going to be the year that we celebrated that milestone birthday with friends and family. It was going to be a party. 2020 was the year that we invited a new member into our family. And then the pandemic hit. And what was supposed to be this awesome year suddenly just felt different. I mean, our support networks, our plans, the things that God's excited, whether it be fun things that we were going to do at school or going to camp for the summer, all of a sudden, all those things just seemed to disappear or get changed in some rather dramatic ways. I mean, think about it, kids. One day you were at school and maybe you were getting ready for an extra long March break. And that extra long March break, that sounded pretty sweet. And the next thing you know, you didn't go back to school for the rest of the year. That's just the way that 2020 seemed to go. Well, I'm here in our foyer because for me, this space represents the sudden change that we're talking about. See, in the days prior to the first COVID shutdown, Mimi and I were busy in this space preparing it for what we thought would be a different sort of Sunday morning gathering. See, we had walked through this whole place and we tried to eliminate all the things that people might be able to touch and germs might be able to be transferred on. We placed hand sanitizer in some strategic locations. We talked to the greeters and the ushers about not shaking people's hands, and we weren't having handouts that Sunday. We were even trying to work through the difficult task of figuring out what were we going to do with our coffee and our tea time, because we knew how much West Heights people love their coffee. What were we going to do about that? And then the next day, the difficult decision was made that we were not going to hold an in-person Sunday service. And that first Sunday, Mimi and I came into this space, and I think that's when it hit me. That's when it became real for me, and I can't speak for Mimi, but I'm sure there was a sense of it kind of clicking for her as well, that things were going to be very different. That this space that, for me, very much represents our life as a community together, the space where we share stories, where we enjoy time with one another, suddenly this space was very, very empty and very, very quiet. And that seemed strange. As I think back on the experience of Jesus' friends, I'm imagining that on the day that he was crucified, that there was this very sudden sense of unexpected loss. That their hopes, their dreams, that their stories, their plans for the future with Jesus, that all of this suddenly disappeared. And they were left wondering, what on earth is going to happen next? One of the things that I do every week, sometimes a few times a week actually, is I walk through our building here just to make sure everything's fine. And by the way, can you guess where I am right now? Can you guess where I am? I'm walking into one of our kids' ministry classrooms, and this is the Orange Team room. This is the space that I would have dropped my own kids off at. And this classroom is just, it looks like a lot of fun. There are cool toys over there. There's toys over here. You can just tell by walking in here that this room is normally just busy and full of life. In fact, there's some artwork up here. Let's see. This picture was from Annabelle to Gwendolyn. That is pretty cool that it's sitting right there. And Nathan, if you're looking for your craft, found it right here. Let us know. We'll get it to you. You know, as I walk through spaces like this, you know, some weeks I find myself feeling sad. I mean, a space like this is usually full of life. It's not usually this tidy, at least when I normally see it. It's because there's been kids in here doing kid things. And in the last year, it's just been very, 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 very quiet. And when I walk through a quiet room like this and it's missing its normal noise and life, I can't help but feeling just a little bit sad. I'm here in one of our other classrooms. I believe Blue Team, this is your room. And so if you're a part of Blue Team, hey, put your name in the chat there just to sort of say hi, because we're in your space right now. And you know what? As I came into this room, I found this thing on the wall that I think is very timely. It says, God is more powerful than, and then around here are some things that God is more powerful than. You know, God is more powerful than E.T. There you go. War, sickness, disease. How timely is that? Donald Trump, everything, people, the dark, sickness. You know, it is a fantastic reminder that despite the fact that things seem like they're out of control, that God is still in control. Kids, thank you for that reminder this morning. After Jesus was crucified, his friends buried him in the tomb of a man named Joseph. And we have to imagine that this act of burying their friend must have felt like the end for Jesus' friends. I mean, there's a sense of finality that things really are the way that they are when it comes to burial. As the gospel writers tell the Easter story, his friends bury him and then leave the graveside because the Sabbath was coming and it was not appropriate for them to be there during the Sabbath. But when the Sabbath was over, they came back to mourn at Jesus' tomb. See, their friend was gone, and this tomb was symbolic of his presence and symbolic of their grief. And so they came to grieve their loss. You know, one of the things that we've been told throughout this past year is that it's important to name and grieve our losses. The reality is that over the past year, we have all suffered loss. Life as we knew it suddenly changed, and this brings a sense of loss, and so it's okay for us to feel sad about this. Kids, you've missed out on some really good things. You've missed out on friendships, on class trips, on hugs from grandma and grandpa, and these are all good reasons to feel sad. Students, your year has been tough too. You have missed out on and continue to miss out on things that are just so normal about your age. Me missing out on hanging out with friends, dances, graduations. There's just so much that you've missed out on. And adults, we know that this has not been easy on us either, because we are not just navigating this for ourselves, but we are also often the support network to help other people navigate this difficulty as well. It has not been an easy year. And so as we reflect on the past year, it's okay if you found yourself grieving because of what has been lost. In fact, it is necessary. As we get back to the Easter story, I want us to imagine for a moment if Jesus' disciples had not returned to mourn at Jesus' tomb. Imagine if they had just buried him and then they tried to move on with life as if nothing had happened. What would they have missed out on if they'd done that? I'm walking into our sanctuary, and this space, you know, in a lot of ways, it represents our life together. You know, this is where we meet, where we worship, where we pray together, where we hear Bible teaching. But a few weeks ago, I had to break the news to somebody that this space looks different than it did the last time we were all here together. And if you look behind me, you'll see that we've got some physically distanced groupings of chairs set up so that when we start meeting in person, that we have our room set up for a safe gathering, in-person gathering. And not just that, though. You know, back in the fall, we had our student ministry gather in this space, and we were happy to be able to have the room for them to meet in some safe ways, and that was fantastic. But all this has meant is that while this space might seem familiar, it looks different, maybe even less like the church that we once knew. The process of grief leads some of Jesus' friends back to the place where they buried Jesus. And when they got there, what they found was not up to their expectations. See, what they expected was that the tomb would be sealed and inside would be a body. But what they found was very different. The tomb was open and the body was gone. The Gospels tell us that Mary finds the tomb open and she rushes back to tell the others. And Peter and John rush to the scene to check it out for themselves. And we have to imagine that the first things that go through their minds is just grief. I mean, after all they've experienced, this just feels like another thing. It feels like insult being added to injury. But in addition to this, Luke's gospel tells us that this empty tomb experience made Peter start to wonder what is going on. See, what's happening in this scene is that the emptiness of the tomb plants a small seed of curiosity in the minds of the grieving. What they expected was not there. And mixed into their grief is a small glimmer of hope in the form of a question. I wonder what is happening here. I wonder what is going on. Friends, as we have sat in this strange season of COVID, we are starting to see signs of hope in the forms of vaccines. And some of us are starting to get excited about life getting back to normal. But I'm wondering if we can do better than normal. Perhaps mixed into our grief ought to be a curiosity about what should be different in this next season of life for us as individuals, for our families, and for our church. You know, we might arrive at a place like this church building, and wish that we could just go back to things the way that they were before. And you know what? To be honest, things were good the way that they were before. Or we could arrive at a place like this with curiosity and wonder what it is that God is doing and what He will do in this next season of life. You know, one of the things that I appreciate about living in this part of the world is how the beginning of the spring season corresponds with Easter. You know, there's something beautiful and meaningful about the fact that happens. You know, the beginning of spring brings with it a sense of anticipation and hope. I don't know about you, but back in February, man, February was a long month. It felt isolated. I was just like, it's enough of the cold. It's enough of not being able to see people. And with the warmer weather that we've experienced over the past few weeks, you know, the kids have been outside riding bikes, climbing trees, and we've been able to connect with neighbors that we haven't seen with all winter, just being able to be outside more. It's been so, so good for the soul. There's been a sense of hope and anticipation. And really, that is the story of Resurrection Sunday, of Easter. That, you know, amongst all the stuff that seems so difficult and hard and things that might never change, that there is a hope for possibility and we can anticipate how God is at work. As the Gospel of John describes the scene of the first Easter, we meet Mary standing outside of the tomb crying. See, she has come to this place to grieve her dead friend. And what she found was not what she expected. Instead of a sealed tomb with a buried body, the tomb was sitting there empty. And so she understandably thought the worst. In fact, this is what she told the angels who asked her what was going on. And yes, if you're paying attention to the story, Mary talks to angels and she doesn't even seem to notice who they are. All she can see is that things aren't the way they ought to be in her mind. That is, until she turns away from the tomb, she turns away from that place of grief and comes face to face with Jesus. And Jesus meets her in those tears and offers His compassion and His love as He asks her what is going on. And as soon as Jesus says her name, Mary seems to understand who it is that's standing right in front of her. And in seeing Jesus, we can almost imagine that suddenly flooding through Mary's mind are all the possibilities of what this might mean. I mean, if death is no longer a final certainty, then what else might be possible? The resurrection story invites us to think about what might now be possible because Jesus is alive. And to identify the ways in which we can find ourselves being boxed in by our past, whether it's by the shame of things that we've done that we regret, whether it's be tradition, whether it be the expectations of other people, and maybe it's even just our failures, our regrets that we have, and to instead turn towards Jesus and to see Him and to hear Him call us by name. For Jesus' first followers, The reality that he was alive propelled them into a radically new identity and into a new community called the church. This identity and this community was about proclaiming Jesus. It was built on the fact that Jesus was alive and declaring that he was alive to anyone who would listen. And it was about living out the inclusive, generous, sacrificial love of Jesus within that community and also to anyone who they came in contact with. And so this Easter Sunday, we are invited to acknowledge our own grief, to acknowledge our own brokenness and whatever else might be holding us back, and to instead turn towards Jesus, even with tears in our eyes, and to see that he is alive and to hear him speaking our name, and to ask him to help us see what is now possible. West Heights, thanks for joining us this morning. Happy Easter. Let's wrap up our service this morning by singing once more.